This call is being recorded.
Well, I've been sitting here all day, I've been sitting in this waiting room. And I've been waiting on my friends, yes, son.
Hi, morning.
Morning, Rom.
Hi, Tracy, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Busy, busy, busy. It's not slowing down.
It's supposed to slow down, right? What are people thinking?
So, hi, Stan. How's it going?
Hey, pretty good. How are you? Oh, I hear you're busy.
Pretty good. Yes. I was hoping it would be slowing down, but we haven't. I'm eagerly looking forward to Saturday, let's put it that way. We actually have a shutdown the following week, so it's a mandatory shutdown, so it will slow down by definition, so I'm looking forward to it.
Next week is going to be my favorite time in the office. There's going to be nobody here.
Yeah, when they first instituted the shutdown here at Cisco, you know, I was kind of upset because once in a while, I used to think of it as a really good week because you can get a lot of work done without being interrupted. Mm-hmm. But after the first time, I realized how valuable it is to have time off when everybody's off, and when you come back, you don't have 1,000 emails and action items to catch up on. So I really appreciate the time off now with the shutdown.
So it's like a mandatory vacation for the whole company?
I guess that's right.
Wow.
For the nice. Following week.
Yeah, I've been a part of a company or two that is mandated that everybody take that week off. Just as a synchronized way for everybody to disconnect. You didn't get to keep any PTO if you didn't take that time off, so you were penalized in a way if you worked.
That's right. Yeah, it's mandatory PTO off. And I was just telling Brian, thanks for joining. I was just saying earlier, when the first time they instituted it here at Cisco, I was kind of annoyed because I thought it was a good time to get some focused work done in case I'm not taking the time off, and thought, I'm losing some flexibility. But, it turns out it's a blessing because, you synchronize time off, nothing waiting for you when you come back. All right. Looks like we have folks on. Given it's the week before the holidays, I don't know if more folks will be joining, but looks like Mick is on, Stan's on, Brian, Tracy, Kiran, and Hart. Thanks for joining. And just a reminder that, if you're looking at the our meeting notes section on top is the boilerplate antitrust policy notice. So, required notice is given that we don't discuss any product or pricing related stuff here. So the key things I was thinking of for the agenda was to look at where we are with the paper. don't see Sally or Greg here, but I think I saw a set of emails go out with the remaining things that we could do to kind of speed things along. So perhaps we can look at those and see where we are, and for those of us who are here, whether we can knock those off before the holidays. I posted the link in Rocket Chat. Let me post that over here in the chat window as well.
Be careful if you click on it. This is your reminder.
Mandatory Uber conference bug reminder that to right-click and open a new tab.
Not that any of us ever forget that. Nope.
It only took me twice to not do it again. And the other things that I had in the mindful agenda is to see if we have a quick update on any of the other work items that we still have, and those were progress on the identity services, fleshing out the identity services functions, the track you're leading on the privacy and confidentiality, and the third item was Hart's work item on the crypto library stuff. Any other things anyone wanted to discuss? All right, so maybe we should smart contract paper. All right, so maybe let's move on to the paper itself. I guess Tracy, you had a couple of comments that I think Greg suggested that Mick and I take a look at. Can we talk about those, perhaps?
Yeah, so I mean, just looking at the top of the architecture positioning paper for a smart contract, it looks like the folks that we have who are here, who can kind of maybe talk through some stuff, we have number one and number three, so Stan and then the common principles. So maybe... Should we start with the common principles then, Ram, since that's the one you brought up? Okay.
Yep.
Basically the three items here was around making sure that there's some sort of general architecture for the access and control permissions. Mm-hmm. If we click on the here, that takes us down to the section. Let's see. Looks like page 7.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think the idea here was how do we control access to the smart contract language or the logic that exists in the smart contracts? What sort of interface do we need maybe to the identity section? And so I think that's what that section was intending to cover.
Okay. So the way I was thinking about it is that the smart contract layer is the access control policy execution point. And we'll use the identity services if we have a common identity services function there, that it'll be used for authentication and authorization, and it'll use any policy layer which which is used to manage those permissions. So the question is, should we call that out? And I guess the question is, Mick, we talked about you know, the access control being enforced here. Do we want to call out the dependency on the others and say, you know, that's part of the interfaces? Does that kind of gel with what we've discussed before?
Okay, so I'm still catching up on where we're at and which one. I had the wrong document open. So you're on the positioning paper, right?
On the positioning paper, page 7. So if you go to the action items on top for the two of us and then click on the link, it takes you there. Or you can just scroll down to page 7.
I think I'm on page 7. So this is some of the work that we were doing. Okay, so then what was your question?
So I guess what's being suggested is that Tracy's highlighting that. So we add a paragraph about access controls, permissions, you know, flesh that out a little bit and call out the dependency on if we are, you know, we discussed about the, so far in the architecture work group, we've been talking about the identity services being used for system assets, and we said it would be a stretch goal for those identity services to also offer those services to the smart contract layer, right? So do we want to kind of flesh out that option where those services are being exposed to the smart contract layer and talk about the smart contract layer being the policy enforcement point for permissioning, but relying on the identity services and policy services for management of those permissions and authentication and authorization of identities.
So you're going to hate me, but my answer is yes.
Okay.
Just to sort of swap back in, reminder some of the discussions we had about this. There are some things related to access controls that are beyond, that are not specifically part of the business logic or the contract semantics, the policy parts of it. You know, things like denial of service attack prevention, signature verification, integrity of the transactions, and other things like that that are part of that are independent. But the logic itself is actually making policy decisions. So, for example, it might be that if you are a member of the Hyperledger staff, you are allowed to update this value. And that becomes part of the business logic. And that the implication behind that is that you must have access to services like the identity system in order to be able to describe or implement those policies. Right. I mean, there are other ways around it. You can do things like you could use Sovereign as your identity service, in which case you don't have to have access to the service, but you're embedding credentials into the request. And so, I mean, there are two ways to think about that, but intuitively, you definitely have assets to some notion of identity.
Correct. So should we take a stab at writing that paragraph right now? I guess it's as good as time as ever, if others don't mind. Or should we do that offline? That's the question. Might as well put something down now. So that we can make progress.
Sure, go for it.
Commence the. State for access control. Access control policy enforcement smart contract layer implements stateful access control policy enforcement and may rely on the identity services functions for authentication. Do you think we, you know, authorization is in the gray area between the policies, stateful policies, and that, and may rely on identity services functions for authentication and authorization of the, you know, request, transaction request. Should include the credentials. That
I can't spell anymore. Thank goodness for autocorrect on spelling.
Confirm or deny the request.
All right, so I threw something in there also for the next one on DDoS protection pieces of it that just trying to focus on the general services that can happen that can be provided by the platform for managing things as well.
Right, yeah, some good. The pre-validation stuff we were talking about earlier, I guess. So you want to kind of have everyone read the two things and see whether it makes sense.
Okay. All right, who's the ferret? Dan?
Editing your paragraph. I think it's probably me.
Oh, no, that's fine. It's really weird doing Google Doc edit in real time this way because somebody's coming along behind just sort of cleaning up and the mess that I'm throwing down there. It's kind of fun, actually.
I like it.
Just to be clear, does everybody else see the paragraphs that we're working on? Tracy, I'm assuming you're watching.
Oh, yeah. I can see.
Given that I see your name popping up on stuff.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, and I think it was these two paragraphs as well as kind of more detail on the interfaces of smart contract layer that that were the items that we were in the to-do up top.
Do we want to call out the differences between the kind of anonymous credentials that Sovereign provides and the credential resolution that might be provided by a service-based architecture?
Can you talk a little bit more about the latter?
Well, the nice thing about Sovereign is that I can provide the credential and it becomes sort of self-resolving.
Mm-hmm.
There's no call to an external service, whereas I might also have some cert service that's sitting on the outside that I need to contact in order to handle resolution.
Okay.
I was sure. Thinking, you know,
yeah, take a stab at it. Let's see. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just, what I was trying to do is to actually map, start thinking about how we map these back to the different platforms.
Mm.
So could we call out, you know,
I guess we should talk about the functional requirement here and in the sections of the different projects, and they can talk in detail about their implementation of that and how it differs, right? So here, okay. In the general thing, we should, does that make sense? But in the general description, we should elaborate on you know, the different, the spectrum of options, if you will.
How about this?
We say Indy?
Yeah, sorry. Fix them.
I'll do that.
We have, who's representing Fabric here? How's the how are identities used for policy in Fabric chain code right now? Is it an external, is it access to an external service to validate it? Or are they actually using credentials?
My understanding was that you know, the CA components are part of the peers themselves, right? So it's not necessarily external, but it's the CA is providing identity services in a distributed manner.
I'm not a Fabric representative, but my understanding was that this is one of the options, but because they are abstracted behind the MSP.
Yeah, the MSP.
It could be, it's basically a deployment or implementation specific. You could have a CA sitting behind or just a set of hard-coded identities, or potentially, I'm not sure how that would work, but potentially it could even have Sovereign behind it, which is that MSP provides the interface to interact with the identity system. It is more SEA-oriented, so.
Okay, so how does that, is that sentence reflective? So identity might be provided through simple key-based identities, anonymous credentials such as provided by Indy, or managed identity services such as the certificate authority and Fabric.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, and the MSP kind of straddles that, not explicitly, but, you know, the option that we were thinking of for system entities is to have the identities on the ledger, right? And the binding between the identities and the credentials on the ledger.
Right.
So how would you describe that? Because, you know, if we are going down the path of saying identity services are providing those kind of capability to have on ledger store of identities and their binding to credentials,
yeah, you're right.
Then
okay.
Then that's on ledger, right? We should
I have to make sure I get that because we're using exactly that technique. Key-based identities. Stored. Credentials managed through the ledger. Anonymous credentials for managed identity surfaces. How's that?
Yeah.
Sorry. Thanks, Tracy.
And I guess it's unfortunate that you know, we don't have anyone from Fabric here. They might claim that the MSP could be viewed as almost on ledger, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe Stan, you could that may be one of the options for the MSP if you think about that as attached to the node.
Yeah, the MSP is a gateway, right? So it's not specifically the CA. Yeah, the common deployment is this, but they have a variety of types of MSP, including just enumerated identities, which kind of fits one of the things already described, right? So this would fit the credentials managed through the ledger.
So Brian, are you still on? Because you know you're letting. Sorry, Stan. I was gonna say you're letting me get away with, you know, murderous use of names.
This covers the spectrum. I'm not sure how appropriate it is to tie Fabric specifically to the certificate authority scenario.
Sorry, this is Brian. I heard my name invoked, and I admit I was parallel processing. Did you want me to come in and play trademark cop? Is that what you're asking?
No, I already did it.
Okay. Good.
I was just surprised you didn't jump on me earlier. So.
I apparently have plenty of trust in all of you to now toe the line on that.
Oh, that's a dangerous thing. That's a really dangerous thing.
All right.
So I don't know. I think I got cut off here for a second, but my question was around the such as are provided by Hyperledger Indy and such as provided by Hyperledger Fabric. So we have those on two of the four different sorts of identities, right? Do we want to provide that for the key-based identities and the identities and credentials managed through the ledger to say which projects do that, or do we want to remove that from these other two? And I think my preference would be to remove it from the other two because if we add additional projects, then, you know, I'm not sure that's useful.
Yeah, that's going to be excessively complex. I think it's a good idea. Just remove
them. I think we should remove them here. And when the appropriate sections down below talk about how the implementations are done in the specific projects, then we should call out that this is the mechanism there, right? Maybe so put in a comment or note, say, can we kind of in the sections call these out so it ties the story together.
I think that makes sense, Ron.
Okay.
So maybe we should put in a comment here to say, let's call out in the individual sections which approach each of the projects is taking.
I'll add that.
Mixel should be in the paragraph about the DOS protection, should we add something about stateless verification of signatures and so forth, of verification of identities and signatures would follow on, would be under that.
Go ahead and add it. Where would you put it? This paragraph could grow really big really fast. I'm a little concerned about, because you could throw in here everything from sort of flow control on resource on request processing, sandboxing, controlled or metered resource access, in addition to some of the other things. So I'd be a little careful about throwing the kitchen sink in here.
Yeah, the only reason I was thinking about that was we talk about stateful access control being implemented there. I mean, we had talked about the stateless access control perhaps being done upfront for DDoS protection and so forth, right?
Right.
Let me take a shot at that. Stateless signature verification, signature stateless access control. Access control. That's too crisp or not enough information, or you think that's good enough?
Is it just signatures or credentials are included in this?
You're right. I mean, when we say signature verification, we should use that as an example, maybe. Stateless access control and credential verification. E.g. signature checks. Is that better, Stan?
I think so. Because I think it also covers the again the indie use case.
Yeah. All right. I think this is a good start for those two things. And you know, if folks have anything to add or elaborate, we can go through that in the next iteration. Tracy, looks like there's a comment on the paragraph about that as well. You know, you want to talk about what you had there?
So the one on the interface is a smart contract layer, that one?
This one that I'm highlighting here.
Okay. Let me find this one. Yeah, I think when I read, especially the second paragraph, right, about the read-write state, that to me screamed Hyperledger Fabric. And so I wasn't quite sure what these two things were attempting to talk about, and if there was some way that we could make them more generic for for all of, for across all of the projects.
Yeah, I think Stan, if I remember right, this was talking about you know, the implication of some design choices, and that some design choice was particular to Fabric, right?
Well, it's fairly generic. I mean, well, we're talking about the steps, the different actions that are taken, and there's different implementations. We're using different sequence of
approaches.
Those steps.
Yeah,
but I believe this is this is very interface specific. Well, this is talking about in general about transaction validation. So I think this could be rephrased to be even more generic, but I don't see anything that's...
So hang on, let me just to make sure, these are about the two paragraphs, which are state was only context for transaction validation, then a chain of transaction, blah, 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 right?
Correct, correct.
What value do these paragraphs add?
I think the original intent was to say, hey, if we do transaction validation based on only committed context from the previous block, then you don't have the ability to have dependent transactions and so forth.
Okay.
So that was what they were trying to make. I think, Stan, you had put them in there originally, if I remember right.
Not this section. No, I was talking in general. Mine was the previous section about, in general, transaction dependencies. This is a more detailed correlate the transaction dependencies with validation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the section. I don't think we have anything else going in depth about transaction validation. So this is probably it.
Okay.
I think the first one is almost like talking about the in the situation where you have
just
the dependencies, you would only be committing one per block, which in a way contradicts the previous paragraph, which is talking about the whole, if there's a cyclic dependency graph, the whole thing should be committed in the block.
Yeah, so I'm wondering whether we can just get rid of these two, and you know, that we've covered that in the dependency section and also in the section that we wrote earlier up.
Yeah, I don't see these two paragraphs adding any value. That they're kind of down in the weeds about particular implementation details.
Okay,
I agree.
All right, so let us just ask them.
It looks like they were originally, when I look at the action items, they were the two paragraphs that I think we wanted to potentially move into the Hyperledger Fabric section. So maybe instead of just deleting them, we should just move them down and then let Ben kind of word those as necessary in the Fabric section.
Sounds good.
They don't make sense there.
Yeah. Shall I go ahead and move them?
Yep. And I guess we should just leave it up to whoever's writing that Fabric section to kind of see how they want to make those points. or even if they want to make to comment on that.
Yeah.
All right. That's that. Is there anything else that we can do on this? I think the introduction to smart contract section that Sally wrote, we probably need to kind of, it's not quite capturing the more detailed things that we put in below mix, so we'd probably have to ask her to work on that. We just put in a comment saying. Whoa, what was that?
That big table down there also needs work.
Yes. Talking about the comparison of the implementations table?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's. Yeah.
All right. Did we have any other action items from top that we can knock off? Stan, are we done with all yours?
I did review this section, and Sally did a great job of kind of cleaning up the text that I had, and I added comment. The one thing I wanted to add, and I don't know if it's, now is a good time, probably I'll be better off doing it offline, but I wanted to talk about basically a third variation. So there's implicit, explicit, and then there's a like sawtooth, I guess, has the ability to do both, which has the, and you can kind of balance use of implicit or explicit dependencies and the different benefits, which was discussed pretty well in the parallelism conversation. I wanted to add a note about that, just
maybe you can just
quickly talk about sawtooth.
Yeah, perhaps you can at least put in a placeholder right now and then.
Yeah. Do that. Probably at the end of it. Okay. I'm not sure how to do the link, but I guess this would replace my to-do. Oh, it's probably suggesting that is it.
Okay. So the other things we want to probably, I think we don't have any other outstanding action item that folks here can talk to. Yes, Bin is not here, Nathan's not here today. So we just have to handle those offline. So any other work tracks, anyone have any, Mick, you want to talk about the what's going on in the privacy confidentiality work stream?
Yeah, I mean, that'll be pretty short because we've had conflicts the last several weeks, except I think we've had one meeting in the last 6 weeks.
Okay.
It just ends up being bad timing. We're continuing to make some progress on coming up with a concrete supply chain usage that we can use sort of as the benchmark for performing the analysis on different approaches to implement it. Vipin's working on that. So that's continuing to be the focus, is trying to find the right level of detail that captures and articulates some of the kind of rich set of problems that could be addressed. Sort of explicit exposure, implicit exposure, and then the multitude of side channels that can exist to expose information. I think this week that we will be having a meeting this week. Vipin will not be there, so the agenda is a little bit open, but right now I was planning on just going through the private data objects work that we will probably be proposing as a project in Q1. So.
Thank you. Hart, anything on the crypto libraries?
So basically what's going to happen is I'm going to try to wrangle people to be maintainers, and then we're going to, well, I'm going to try to write up a proposal and take what we have and take the existing documentation and turn it into a proposal. So if anyone is interested in perhaps being a maintainer of the crypto library, maybe, you know, if your last name rhymes with Bowman, for instance, you know.
What's your whatever.
Or any of the rest of you.
Might be a free time, right?
Yeah. You're preaching to the choir here. So that's kind of the next step is writing up the document and just getting, nailing people down. We got a lot of people at the Hackfest who said they're interested. In working on it, so hopefully those people will follow through, and okay. And yeah, that's about it. I mean, and in the meantime, if anyone has suggestions, please feel free to comment or write or edit on the crypto library ideas document that's been floating around. That'd be much appreciated.
Is that a link you want to put on the notes here?
Sure. Let me find which notes are we talking about?
And the meeting notes from okay. Artwork Group. I'm just capturing the notes here so I can put in the link.
Yeah, let me find them. There are like 15.
Why am I putting this? Okay.
Okay. All right. I'll add it to the notes. All right, added.
Sounds good. We don't have Vipin or Nate on the call today, so I guess we don't, they were looking at fleshing out the identity services section. So you just need to figure out whether, if and how we can kind of flesh out some of the stuff that we got started in talking about the identity authentication, authorization, and other functions that we had started capturing. And so that's been pending for a while. I guess folks are all busy, so we'll probably reconvene in the new year and see whether we can push on that. I guess, while we have Brian here, the other thing topic was, how can we kind of, if we start defining these common modules, functional frameworks, so far we've been talking about, hey, let's define these common modules, interfaces, approaches, and see how the projects kind of independently evolve towards them, in some sense towards having common interfaces, and perhaps we can define, I think the thought was, for identity services, can we start defining those and actually start implementing them? And I guess, Hart, you're going down the path of looking at common crypto libraries and so forth. What else can we do to kind of bootstrap the common components development, if you will? That's another topic that we should kind of explore.
Yeah, I think like the crypto library breakout is going to be really meaningful on figuring out what are the right ways to build common components and between projects implemented in different languages and with different agendas. And so let's look at that as kind of our real experiment in the space over the next few months. And if that proves out, meanwhile, we should be thinking, like the identity work group should be thinking about how does it, is there like a common API that Indy could expose usefully to other environments? Is there, I don't know. I feel like there's some writing to do. I think the confidentiality paper will be a big help there as well. Even just to help us understand the differences and how the different frameworks apply that and what really is shareable between them. I think we're making steady progress in that direction, but the more that we write, the more that we can articulate APIs, and the more that things like Sawtooth get to a 1.0 and hopefully Indy and some of our other projects get on that path, the easier I think it gets too.
Well, the thing with this is the crypto is, I imagine, by far the easiest thing to kind of agree on, right? It's very simple to define basic crypto primitives. No one's going to argue, no one's going to argue about signature interfaces. So, this is a test case, but some of the other things are going to be much, much, much harder. Like everyone wants a modular consensus library, and that would be fantastic. But agreeing on a consensus interface between a lot of different projects is going to take something resembling a standardization effort.
And it's questionable as to even whether it's worth it. For example, no one suggests that you should use MySQL blades, the storage or the MySQL storage engines inside of Cassandra, right? I'm neutral on that. This might be the crypto might be easiest to start with. Technically, you might get some pushback on that claim, but where it's still a good test for this is the social aspect. How do we get communication between the different teams really working heads down on their different projects to pull their heads up and think out of a common interest and have a dependency outside of their own project on something as core as crypto. So more for the social dynamics, more for the coordination and challenges and all that. I think it'll be a good use test case.
Sure. That makes sense.
Sounds good. So anyone else have any anything that they want to bring up before we wrap up? It's probably our last meeting for the year. I think we're making slow but steady progress. thank you all. Anything else before we wrap up?
I just want to thank you all, especially you, Ram, and the others for continuing to give the Hyperledger project as a whole the serious credibility, technically as a serious project, by having this August group actually talk deeply about these issues, and also really help substantiate our claim that there's value in being a set of projects that work together on common architectural concepts and principles, that we're not just a GitHub for blockchain, you know, that we're actually much more than that. So thank you all for the time and intellect that you've poured into this effort, and happy holidays.
Thanks, Brian, and thanks for the support and making sure that we're all pulling in a unified direction, and look to even more in the next year where we can make progress towards a unified framework.
And yeah, thanks, everybody. The TSC call is canceled for tomorrow.
Wait, what?
The TSC call, Brian. Chris just sent out a note. The TSC call is canceled tomorrow.
Oh, well, more sleep.
Yay.
We didn't think that would be a hard sell.
All right. Thank you all for joining on the week before holidays, and wish you all happy holidays.
Take care, everyone.
Yeah. Happy holidays to everyone.
Bye all.
Oh.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.